Turn back to Psalm 98. I'm going to look at seven reasons to sing unto the Lord, to praise Him. We can come up with more reasons than that, my soul, but I'm going to pick on seven out of this psalm tonight. This psalm before us is titled a psalm. It is a psalm written, no doubt, by David, because David, his name was the last one written on the psalm, and then the psalms after that that have no name are referred back to David. And he just titled this a psalm. It's a fitting psalm. This psalm can be used in every worship service. It can be used in every worship service. It's a very fitting psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that glorifies our Lord as our song and our praise is to His glory. I want to learn how to praise God here. I want it to be a habit. I want it to be a habit, and I want it to increase when I enter into His presence. But I want to do it here. And I want this for you too. I want you and me to be able to honestly, in truth, to praise God from the heart. I mean to sing praises unto Him from the heart. And then one day, when we go into His presence, it'll just be that much better. It'll be that much better. But this psalm glorifies our Lord, and it comforts. It comforts and it encourages God's people. For He has gotten the victory. It says He has gotten. He's not trying to get the victory. You know, the Lord is not trying to subdue all things unto Himself. He is subduing all things unto Himself. And I was thinking of that today. And I was thinking He is subduing all things to Himself, even me. Even now. I have believed the gospel for over 40 years now. And the Lord is still subduing me. He's still bringing me underneath His wing. He's bringing me around to see and understand more and more of His will in any matter. In any matter, it's better that His will be done. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Now that's easy to say when the sun is shining. When the sun's shining, that's easy to say. But now when you're looking into the face of a loved one that the Lord may be about to take, that's not so easy. Well, let me say it this way. That puts a lot of weight to it. When He's taking from you, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Now that has a lot of weight when He's taking. When He's giving, it's like, you know, it's like we like receiving, don't we? But when He's taking, you know, that puts the weight to it. Thy will be done. But this psalm is a comforting psalm. It's an encouraging psalm. And it starts on a good note. Oh, sing. Oh, like the oh, my soul. Sing unto the Lord a new song. I was driving today, and as I was driving, I noticed the trees just waving back and forth. And I thought about this latter part of this psalm where it talked about clapping their hands and let the trees and the sea and the whole of creation that God made praise Him, worship Him. And that song that I had, our first song, This Is My Father's World, I just started singing it out loud in my truck. Of course, nobody's there, so I could do that. But I did. I started singing it out loud in my truck as I drove down the road. This is my Father's world. And as I sang it, the comfort that I was getting from that was just of the Lord. It was of the Lord. That was just great comfort to me to know that I'm driving on my Father's road I live on my Father's earth. You know, I'm not. I thought, my, what a blessing. And what's coming? What's coming? I mean, this is a blessing. Even with all the sin in this world, with all the sin in it, it's still a beautiful earth, isn't it? It's still beautiful. And He still gives us sunshine. And we still have great days. We do. We still have great days. But look at, think of the day that's coming. Think of the day that's coming. If we're having a good day today, think of what's coming. Oh, my soul. Oh, sing unto the Lord and do song. Sing praises unto the Lord. We should always, listen, this new song here, it should, that we sing, it's the song of the redeemed. Worthy is the Lamb. It's the songs that we sing unto the Lord. It's the songs of redemption. It's the songs of praise to Him. They should always be fresh. And we should always sing them enthusiastically. One of the fears that I have, and I have, you know, I have a few fears, and one of the fears that I have is growing cold. I have a fear of growing indifferent. I have a fear of getting, that song we sing, we get too easy taken up with the toys of this world, the toys of this life. They get our attention. And I know I had a business for 25 years. I know how I can get absorbed in it. I can get absorbed in it. And I fear this. I fear this for me. And I fear this for you because you have the same nature I have. You have the same old nature I was born with. And if we're not careful, we can just grow cold and indifferent and singing these songs with just words on a page. They should never be words on a page. No more than the Bible is just words on a page. These are not words on a page. This is God's Word. The psalm I just read to you, did you realize that God's speaking to you? God Almighty speaking to you through His Word. If I wrote you a letter and I smelled it to you and you opened it up and you're reading it, that's me speaking to you. This book is God speaking to us. So we should always sing with enthusiasm unto the Lord. The songs of redemption should always be new to the redeemed. Always new. The Word of God is. You said, well, I've read that before. I like what Henry said one time when a man told him, he said, I heard that message before. I heard you preach that before. I've told you this. Henry said, no, you haven't. He said, yes, I have. I heard you preach that. He named the place. I heard you. Henry said, no, you haven't. I just preached it. I could preach from the same scripture over and over again. Now, I'm going to say some of the same things. You know why? Because they don't change. But boy, I see things new all the time. I couldn't tell you how many times I told my pastor, first time I've ever seen that. Or if I had seen it, it was new to me again. It was fresh. It was like the Lord just, there's some foods I never get tired of. I grew up on the fried potatoes and pinto beans. You can make that for me 7 days a week. I did have Vicky when we were first married, making that 7 days a week. she said she got tired of it. I'm tired of this. I'm not. And that's the Word of God. We never get tired of it. Because it's always fresh. Now I'm going to give you 7 reasons. First of all, for He has done marvelous things. Marvelous, great. The word marvelous here is great things. He has done wonderful things. Has God saved you? Boy, I had to sit back and think about this one. This one settled in on me. John, has God saved you? You believe God has saved you? What a wonderful thing. God saved my soul. Do you know what He had to do in order to do that? He couldn't just say, you're saved. You know what He had to do. He had to come into this world, take my place, die in my place, die in my stead, under the curse of the law that was on me, His law. He died under the curse of His own law that was on me. Hell. Whatever hell is, He took my hell. Marvelous. Marvelous. We ought to stand in awe. We ought to stand and marvel at the grace of God that chose us, loved us, chose us, called us, died for us, redeemed us, saved us, got the victory, and going to take us home. It's all of Him. And I don't have to do a thing. It's all of God. He has done marvelous things. When you look at God's creation, does it make you marvel? Does it not make, you know, it baffles scientists. Scientists look at creation and they're baffled with it. They go back and, you know, they'll try to explain things away. They'll grab a few billion years here, a few billion years there, because they know you can't check that out. But you know what I see? I see a marvelous creation. Marvelous. Great, wonderful. Now, what do you think that new creation is going to be like? I'm excited. I feel an excitement about it as I get older. This is more real to me than ever. It's literally more real to me than it ever has been before. His providence. Now He makes it work out. How He makes in providence work everything together for our good, everything. But that's just amazing. But most of all, He's given us a marvelous Savior. God, David said, God has become my salvation. God is my Savior. In Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous, it says, marvelous in our eyes. It is great. It is wonderful. It is marvelous in our eyes. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government's upon His shoulders. His name is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a wonderful, marvelous person He is. And He's my Savior. He's my Savior. Listen to 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth, in sincerity, and in the truth according to the Scriptures. With all your heart. That's been on my mind lately. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Serve Him with all your heart. And I'm thinking, Lord, have I ever really done that? Have I ever really done it with all my heart? Give me a heart to do it. That's my prayer. That's what I do. I ask Him to give me a heart to do it. For consider, Samuel said, for consider how great things He hath done for you. He put away your sin. You didn't ask Him to put your sin away, did you? You didn't ask God to choose you. You didn't raise your hand. You didn't raise your hand and ask God to choose you. You didn't ask God to have mercy on you. Not at first. Oh, consider how great things He's done for you. He put your sins away. He's made you a son of God. Now are you the sons of God. Now. We need to keep that in our minds and in our hearts when we walk out this door. When we walk out of our door in the morning. Wherever we go, we are children of God wherever we go. Consider how great things He's done for you. Put your sins away. Made you His son. Now listen. You have a great future ahead of you. Isn't that what all these commencement speeches, you know, here we have these graduations and these college, especially these college graduations. And what is it they tell every one of them? You have a great future ahead of you. You're going to, if you don't know Christ, you do not have a great future ahead of you. Period. That wouldn't get me on a commencement speech, would it? They wouldn't ask me to give a commencement speech. Apart from Jesus Christ, you do not have a great future. You don't have one. You don't have one. But with Christ, you have a great future. You have a new life, a new body, a new heaven, a new earth. Our Lord said, behold, I make all things new. All things. Here's a second reason to praise Him and sing praises unto Him. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. It's not me and Him. Me and Him didn't do this. I didn't help Him at all. Zero help. He got zero help from me. His right hand and His holy arm has gotten Him the victory. His right hand and holy arm is Jesus Christ, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed in Isaiah 53:1. The arm of the Lord is Jesus Christ. He got the victory. He's not trying to get it. He's not still trying to get the victory. He's not still trying to win the battle. He's won it. It's over. He's subduing. He's gotten the victory over sin. There was no other way in heaven or earth to put away sin except by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He has put away all the sins of all His people, all the elect. He's put them away. They're gone. And one day He's going to cast sin, Satan, and the ungodly, the wicked, He's going to cast them into hell, and they will never, ever be released. That'll never come up again. Sin will never, ever be a problem again. Satan will never, ever tempt again. He'll be locked up into that lake of fire. He'll never come out of it. Ever, ever, ever. He never will. The Lord Jesus Christ hath gotten the victory over sin, over Satan, over the curse of the law, over death. What's the one thing hanging over everybody's head? I mean throughout this whole world, every person on this world, in this world. Death. Everyone on this earth knows one thing. Sooner or later, they gotta die. But you who believe don't have to. He's gotten the victory over death. Ours is a transfiguration. Ours is a translation. We get to just leave here and go there. We will never taste of death. Because He has tasted death for every man. That's every man whom He represented. He has tasted death for them. He's gotten the victory over death. Listen, in Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because He has gotten the victory. That's why we're conquerors, more than conquerors. He's loved us. He said in Isaiah 42:1, my servant shall not fail. He'll bring forth victory unto just victory. Now here's the third reason. In verse 2, the Lord hath made known His salvation. Not only did He come into this world and He accomplished salvation, He accomplished redemption, He cried, it is finished. It's finished. But that's not all. I mean, it's finished. It's nothing for us to do. But listen, He has also made it known. What He finished, He has made known. Has He made it known to you? Has God made it known to you? Has He made His salvation known to you? Has Jesus Christ really been revealed to your heart? As Paul said, in me. The Lord has revealed His salvation by the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God, listen here, in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come. He's come in the flesh. and hath given us an understanding. You understand the gospel. You understand how God can be a just God and a Savior. You understand it. That we may know Him that is true. Now listen, that's more than knowing about Him. That's more than just knowing about this man named Jesus Christ. You know Him. There's a relationship. That we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true. We not only know Him, we are in Him, spiritually in Him, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then we know, listen, He has made it known to us by the Holy Spirit in revealing Christ in us. Not just to us, but in us. I want you to listen to what Paul says, and this is interesting how he said it. But when it pleased God, Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. That's why you cannot help but believe. That's why you cannot help but believe, because the Spirit of Christ is in you. And you can't help but believe. You understand it because the light, Christ said, I am the light, and the light is in you. The light's in you. That's why you have been illuminated. Your understanding has been illuminated. Your eyes, you've been given spiritual eyes to see. Ears to hear. You can hear not just me. You don't hear just me, but you can hear the Lord speaking to your heart. It's real conviction. You know, when you hear a message, it thrills your heart, and sometimes it really convicts you. It pricks your heart. That's because He's revealing Himself to you. He's revealing truth to you. He's making Himself known to you. Listen to what our Lord says about the Holy Spirit in John 16:15. All things that the Father hath are mine, they're all mine. Therefore said I that He, the Holy Spirit, which is God, shall take of mine and show it to you. You know what? He's still showing it to me. He's still showing it to me. And it's sad that I don't see more of it, and that's my fault. I realize this. I could know more than I know if I was seek the Lord more. I know that. And that's sad that we don't do that. We should be totally obsessed with knowing Him. And then listen. He's made it known to us through the preaching of the gospel. You have the preaching of the gospel here every week. What, three times a week? You know how merciful God is to do that? He does it, first of all, to the honor of His Son and for the edifying and good of His children that are here. You have the gospel every week. You're fed the bread from heaven every week. Every week. Here's the fourth reason. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. His righteousness hath He openly revealed. You know, there's still people, many people out there going about trying to establish their own righteousness. You got a whole nation over there called Israel trying to establish their own righteousness. That whole nation is trying to. But you're not. I'm not. Because God has revealed that righteousness by which we are saved and by which we are accepted. And it's the righteousness of God which is in Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness. God has revealed His righteousness. Now listen, to the heathen. Have any of you heathens seen the righteousness of God? This heathen has. I tell you what, before God saved me, I was a heathen. I believe I can say that. I believe I can say I was a stinking heathen. And I believe you can say it too. If not, then you're just thinking self-righteous. You're just one or the other. You're either a heathen or self-righteous. But God has revealed His righteousness. That righteousness that Jesus Christ wrought out by His life and death, that righteousness by which we are justified. And some of us have seen it. God has revealed it to us openly, clearly, not in a corner, not in secret, but openly revealed it to us. Paul said this in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed." It's revealed from faith to faith, one degree of faith to another. And it's written, "The just shall live by faith." But in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. That righteousness by which we are saved, by which we are accepted. And no other place is it revealed. You cannot know it and understand it anywhere else. You can't understand it in the law. You can't understand it out there in nature, walk around in the woods. You can only understand it through the preaching of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Your need of it. And that there is a righteousness by which we can be saved. And it's His righteousness. The righteousness of the Son of God. And then here's the fifth reason. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. What God has promised, He will perform. Now sometimes it seems like that He's forgotten. I believe it was David said, "Is your mercy clean gone?" No. God would have to cease to exist for His mercy to be clean gone. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth. The promises He made to Abraham, the forefathers, He remembers those. He remembers them in that He brings them to pass. God remembers His promises. He sent the gospel to Israel first, didn't He? Did He not send it to them first? To the Jew first and also to the Gentile? It was preached to them first. And many, think about this now. You know, we see Israel over there now that has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate Him as much as they did then. But you know, thousands of them were saved at Pentecost. There was 3,000 at Pentecost. And then there was over 5,000. Thousands of them were saved. Thousands over there in Israel were saved. There was a strong church there at one time. God remembered His mercy and His truth to Abraham, to Israel, to Jacob. He remembered that. God's faithful. Whatever God has promised, God will do. Just take God at His word. One of the best ways to pray, and I'm no expert on prayer, but one of the best ways to pray is to take His word to Him. Lord, You said, "He that comes to You, You will no wise cast out." You said, "Come unto Me." Lord, You said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Lord, I come. Upon Your word I come. Oh, He's remembered His mercy. He's faithful to His promises. He's faithful to His people. And listen. Here's another reason. It says, "He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." He's also sent the gospel to us. He sent the gospel to us. How long the gospel will be here? I don't know. Only God knows. Only God knows. But all you got to do is look at history. It's like a wave in the ocean. It comes and through and then it just moves on. But the gospel never leaves a place. It never leaves a place without it being the fault of that place. Just go over and read the letters of the seven churches. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. The gospel's gone throughout all the earth. Many have seen it with eyes of faith. He says here, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. I thought about this when I read that again just before coming out here. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. There were some who saw the salvation of God lying in a manger. There were some who saw Romans and Jews, Gentiles and Jews, Samaritans. They saw God. Think about this. They saw God in human flesh walking down the street. Over there in Jerusalem, God Almighty walked down the streets of that place over there. They saw. Now some of them actually saw the salvation of God. Simeon did. Didn't he hold him up in his arms? He said, "Now let thy servant depart. I have seen thy salvation." I brought a message one time with this title. I looked for it here some time ago and I couldn't find it. When is it a good day to die? When is it a good day to die? I'll tell you when. When you see the salvation of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that's a good day to die. Simeon said, "Now let me depart. I've seen thy salvation. Let me die." Well, all the ends of the earth have seen it. They saw him in a manger. They saw him walk down the streets of Jerusalem. They saw him hanging on a cross. They saw the God-man, Jesus Christ, hanging on a cross 2,000 years ago over there in Jerusalem, over there outside the gates of it, on a hill called Golgotha. They saw that man, Jesus Christ, hanging there. They saw him. God's salvation. But some really saw him. That thief on the cross did, didn't he? "Lord, remember me when you come into that, when you come into your kingdom." He saw him. And there were some who saw him and they didn't know it, but there were some who saw him and they knew it. God gave him eyes. They gave that thief right there, one of them. Mary Magdalene's another one. I mean, you can just go on, the apostles, the disciples, and you know, when our Lord raised from the dead, there was 500. You know, there was 500 other bodies that came up out of the grave. There was 500 other people that believed. And I thought to myself, this astounded me. When he rose from the grave, only 500. Only 500 rose up with him. I thought surely there'd have been more than that. But only 500. I don't know. It was a thought. Those are the things that go through my head. I thought that's a small number for all those, all that preaching that went on over there and all those types and all the everything they've ever had, and then they only 500 in that area. I'm not sure I'm not going to make anything out of it. Just to me, it just seemed like a small number. And then listen, they saw him in Jerusalem. They saw him hanging on a cross. And throughout the world, some have seen him in the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel. He's been revealed. Now, make a joyful noise. Has God saved you? Has God saved you? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Sometimes, and rejoice and sing praise. Now listen. I know we have to have order in our service. I know that. Sometimes I think we might be just a little too dead. See, I'm serious. We might be just a little too reserved. I'm reserved. That's the way I was raised. I was raised by my parents to be seen and not heard. So you don't hear me saying things out loud because I was just raised. You know, they could take all seven of us to anywhere and you wouldn't know we were in the house. And, you know, train a child up in your way you'd have him to go and they don't depart from it. There's a lot of truth in that. There's truth in that. But I was reading this. This is those who, even if we don't do it out loud, we keep order, surely to goodness we can do it in our hearts. Surely our hearts ought to be rejoicing and be like Elizabeth when Mary walked in the room, John the Baptist leaped in her womb. I'm telling you, there's been some times I want to stand up and clap. Man, I wouldn't dare do it, but I wanted to do it. David danced before the Lord. If David came into this room right now dancing, what do you think we'd think of him? We'd think, well, get that nut out of here. We'd probably think like his wife, oh, he just showed himself off before the women. He said, he was so happy. He was so thrilled that he literally danced before the Lord. Let's be careful that we don't become so reserved that we can't really rejoice. That we can't really, you know, afraid to make a noise, afraid to say amen. Salvation has come. Look over in Isaiah 44. I think I marked that somewhere. Yeah. Isaiah 44. Listen to this. Isaiah 44:23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. He's not going to do it. He hath done it. Shout. What did they do when they marched around Jericho? They blew the trumpet. What did they do? They shouted. They shouted victory. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel, my soul. I would to God we'd get a hold of what Christ has done for us. My, I hope I don't grow older and less interested. I hope that doesn't happen to me. I've seen it happen. And listen, verse 5. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the harp and with the voice of a psalm. Use all the gifts and talents that the Lord has given to us to praise Him. Use them all. We use them all in a worshipful manner to praise Him. A lady that left the gospel church, she left it because they played the guitar. Well, this would really make her go nuts. The harp, the flute, the horn, my soul. And listen here, is it with the voice of a psalm? How many times do we read throughout the scriptures of psalms being sung in times of trouble, or in times of worship, in times of praise? Listen, when Israel returned from exile, what did they do? They sang psalms. When Jesus Christ was betrayed, the night he was betrayed, what did he do with his disciples? He sang a psalm. When Paul and Silas, when they were chained in the dungeon, what did they do? They sang a song. What did Paul admonish, or what did Paul tell the church to do at Ephesus and Colossae? He says here, teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Roll the window up in your car and sing a song. Sing a song. I had mine rolled down. Just the wind. It was God's wind. It was His air, and the trees were. It just made my day. It made my day. But sing, listen, admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And listen, do it with praise that is worthy of the King of heaven and earth. In verse 6, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. You know, back in, especially in those days when the king was coming in, it was loud. It was loud. They were blowing those trumpets. It was a to-do. It was a to-do. We are to make known with joyful sound the triumphs of Zion's King. I'm thrilled to be preaching here tonight. I'm thrilled to be able to tell you this tonight. I am. I'm excited about it. It's all about King Jesus. And then listen, now it was let Israel praise Him, let the earth praise, let all the ends of the earth praise Him. Now it's let creation praise Him. Let all of creation join in the praise of our Lord who has brought us salvation. You know, it says over in Corinthians that creation itself groans, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God to be delivered. Creation itself is going to be delivered from the bondage of sin that Adam brought in and we have perpetuated. Let the sea roar and the fullness there, let all the fullness of it, all the fish and all the whales, you know, you hear those songs, you ever hear those whale songs? You reckon they're like the birds? They're singing to the Lord. They're trying to figure out all this. Why are they singing this? Why do they sound like that? The Lord gave them a tune. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world. And they that dwell therein, let the floods clap their hands. Oh, let them clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Here's what I see. Harmony. Can you imagine the harmony in that, on that new earth when this is over and we're standing in glory and the whole of all the redeemed are singing in harmony? You're not thinking about work. You're not thinking about this. You're not thinking about that. But it's just harmony singing with a full heart. I mean, one writer said, sing lustily. That's what he said. Sing lustily. With all the heart and fiber of your being. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. The deliverer has come before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. He's coming to judge. That's a cause of celebration for us, isn't it? I'll be glad when I quit, when I don't do no more funerals. I'll be glad not to do that again. Whenever that day comes. But as Henry said, I'll be glad when we quit dying. We don't have to do this no more. But I'll be glad when all sin, all that hate God are gone. Are gone. It's over. There are times I catch myself saying with the scriptures, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Put an end to this. Put an end to this God-hating world. Put an end to it. The church looks forward, and I'm going to close. The church looks forward to His coming. To His coming and to Him to judge, to wrap this up, and to do so in righteousness. In righteousness. With righteousness shall He judge the world, that man Jesus Christ. All judgment's been committed to Him. He's going to judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. Equity. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I close. This is the joy of it. No tyrant, no weakling is he to oppress the good or to indulge the vain. His law is good. His action is right. His government, the embodiment of justice. And we rejoice in it.